Well, when we last spoke, you had just finished Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift. And that was
yes.
one of three films that you'd scored in 2006. Now, 2007 has seen you score an additional three.
Yeah.
But one of the most unusual that I found is a film called Finishing the Game.
Oh, yes, exactly.
How did you become involved in that film?
Well, you know, it kind of leaves off where Fast and Furious left off. This is where Finishing the Game starts, because I've had a long relationship with scoring Justin Lin's films. He directed the film Annapolis, which was the first time that we worked together. So then we went into, when he went to go direct the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, and, you know, we did that, and then he called me and said, you know, I'm doing this kind of mockumentary, very different film in between kind of his big studio films that he directs. He wanted to do this more independent kind of mockumentary, crazy, you know, comedy type of thing that was supposed to, you know, take place all in the 70s. He, you know, gave me a call and said, hey, you know, you want to do this? So we busted it out. it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was able to do, you know, I'm trying to think of exactly when it was. I scored Partition, then Navy War was next, and then Finishing the Game was somewhere around in there. But I know I had to squeeze it in between some films, and I played all the instruments, and we kind of, you know, I wanted to do it. The whole idea was to record it in a style that was completely, you know, from the period. You know, all the instruments, everything had to be recorded as if it was the 1970s, you know, so it doesn't use kind of your more electronic elements that you would find in scoring today, and it's kind of raw. So it was a lot of fun.
Cool. So you're talking about like Lalo Schifrin, that kind of approach, like Enter the Dragon kind of approach.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, there's kind of references to Enter the Dragon there, and some of the music. Because I mean, most of it was more by virtue of not having a budget on it, they couldn't go and get, you know, really these big 70s tunes and license them and use them. So I thought, well, you know, why don't we just do it? Let's use this to our advantage. Let's have original kind of tunes, you know, songs that were recorded in the style of the 70s. So the majority of what I was doing was that type of thing, you know, kind of really funky Parliament funkadelic stuff and Earth, Wind, and Fire type music and all that. And then there is score within the score, in a sense, because since this is a mockumentary, it shows parts of the film that they're actually making in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I scored those with that kind of Schifrin style, you know,
okay.
Same instrumentation and all that, which is a blast. I mean, you never would. Incredibly rare to be able to do those kind of things in a film. I mean, it just never comes up, you know. So it was a cool throwback, probably, you know, my one opportunity to do that in my career.
Okay. Well, now you followed that up with another kung fu film of sorts. That's War. So what appealed to you about that film?
War was, you know, this was kind of the modern straight-ahead take on, you know, on the martial arts and all that, because of Jet Li. And what I, you know, wanted to do was, since it's kind of this Jet Li versus Jason Statham thing, you have the kind of, Statham comes from those, you know, those English films that are, you know, the really rough and tumble, you know, kind of hand-to-hand, just brutal films. And, you know, Jet Li's very sophisticated, and he has this whole, you know, different fighting style. So it's kind of a combination of the two, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to have kind of, you know, a percussion from the East combined with kind of, you know, very brash sound of the West with, you know, I was able to conduct the London Symphony Orchestra for the score and kind of give it that power. But at the same time, the director, Philip Atwell, you know, he wanted to bring a little bit of the street in it. You know, Dr. Dre also, he worked with us on some tracks and did some more, you know, hip-hop elements to it as well, and then I incorporated some hip-hop elements into even, like, you know, the electronic portion of the score, kind of the beats and things. And so it was, you know, it was coming from all different directions, but it was, again, kind of one of those things that probably, to get that combination of music will happen once in my career, you know?
Right.
It was kind of like the world tour of doing scores. It was very strange, you know, at the time because I kept on jumping around. I think you're able to work on one score and then switch gears, and fortunately they didn't have a lot to do with each other. You know, these scores were so different that I was able to keep everything straight, even though I was kind of working side by side on different films. It's confusing. I don't even remember now the order of the films, but there was, I think that was also at the same time I was scoring maybe Bangkok Dangerous. Partitions in there somewhere. I think that was before, though. I don't know. It's a blur. I'm tired.
Well, I mean, speaking of being tired, I'm sure you're quite wore out after the Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Gosh, yeah.
So now, how did you first find out that you'd be scoring that film?
Let's go back. Let's go back even further. Lifelong Alien, Aliens, Predator 2, you know, fan. So I was, you know, ever since the first Aliens versus Predator was made, you know, the movie was on my radar. Like, oh wow, this is, you know, I very, very much was interested in the, you know, everything from the films to the games to everything. Just from a fan standpoint, kind of to my amazement, you know, I got a phone call about Alien versus Predator 2, as it was called back then,
right,
from the directors of this film. There's brothers. There's the brothers Strauss, Craig and Colin, and they really dug your music, and, you know, they were these special effects supervisors on Constantine. Actually had never met them on it, but, you know, they knew the music quite well. They really liked the kind of the original score for the first one. Was very dark and that kind of thing. They wanted to go really dark and gritty for this, for Aliens. And I mean, this is a really, really early on. I'd say it was summer or fall 2006. So I came in and met with them, and I was on the movie, you know. So I had been on it. I've been on it for, I mean, you know, over a year. As it went, as they were filming, you know, I, you know, kind of kept up to date on what was going on. And meanwhile, you know, scored, you know, four or five films. And then, you know, it was really got put into high gear, and it was quite apparent that it was, you know, it was going to be a massive score and a huge job to pull off, because the bar is so high, you know. For me, you know, the original Alien score and Aliens score and Alan's Predators, I mean, and then Alien 3, I mean, they're monumental scores, you know.
Right.
Hugely influential, hugely just, I mean, just fantastic masterpieces, you know. So, and to have so many kind of, I think, classics in one series of one franchise, you know, or two franchises, right? It's kind of, that's ridiculous. It's a little bit daunting, you know, stepping into that. So I wanted to make sure that there was a definite nod and to those scores, and to really, you know, I didn't want to let anyone down, including kind of me as a fan, you know. So we really went for it.
Okay. Well, now you know fans of the movies are going to, and the scores to the other films, are going to be going over this film with a fine-tooth comb. Now, this reminds me of when I spoke to John Ottman about his score to X-Men 2. He told me that he took the fans' wishes into account when composing the score. Did you do that with Requiem?
Oh, there's no question. It was kind of easy for me to take the fans' wishes into account, only because, you know, I'm a giant fan, you know, myself. So I kind of knew what I, you know, what I was wanting to hear, especially in the first one, first Alien versus Predator.
Right.
And it was just kind of a different style. And for me, you know, what I wanted to do, instead of, you know, just jumping into some whole new language of music for the film, I didn't think it was needed, because the language was there. It was established by Goldsmith and Horner and these guys, Silvestri and Goldenthal. So I thought, you know, I want to, you know, it's a new score melodically. The fact is that the Alien scores really aren't motif-driven melodic scores. They're textural. They kind of have a sound. You know, that's just so Aliens, you know. And since there is a military angle to this film as well, I wanted to kind of really nod to the original Alien, but really Aliens, to Predator, with, you know, the Predator brass and the Predator, you know, tribal percussion and thing, and really use the orchestration style and the recording technique and the style of music that those films were. So for me, it seemed to be that, like, as a fan, of course you want to nod to the classic scores, because that's what you love. You know, mm-hmm. that those are the films that really established this language. So there was no question, and the directors were on board. I mean, that was part of kind of what I said when I first met them. I thought, well, for sure we should do this. You know, let's. You know, I don't want to make this kind of, you know, an electronic kind of modern, more Bruckheimer type of style thing for this movie. That's great in other films, but for this, it was, you know, needed to be, live orchestra, massive percussion, really capture that sound. And that's what I tried to do.
Right. Now, you didn't quote the themes directly, did you? You just sort of made sound-alikes. Like, you didn't quote the Silvestri theme directly, or the Goldsmith theme, or the Goldenthal theme.
No, it's not thematically kind of something that is carrying on themes, because really all the films have different, they're all different themes completely.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that was interesting, and I think kind of the guy that started the ball rolling on this was Horner, because he was stepping into Goldsmith's role.
Right.
And the kind of the quotes were, again, more textural. They're not note quotes. Because really the heart of the Alien scores, you know, it's not so much kind of the melodies and things. It's the feel. It's the vibe. It's how the scores work, the techniques, and using the sounds and the clanks and the clacks and the delays on the collenias and all those kind of things. So that, you know, we wanted to make sure all of that was there and really give the overall impression that, you know, you're in the world of the aliens and predators. And also the fact is that there is a new element to the story here, whereas
right.
you have a third species. You have the hybrid between mm-hmm. the alien and the predator. So it needed to be, you know, sometimes it's interesting, kind of where it becomes sort of predator music, you know, more you definitely get the swing from, you're in that icy, insecty kind of aliens music, which you can distinctly tell, then all of a sudden it shifts into kind of the more soaring brass and tribal percussion thing. You know, you're known in the predator world, but there had to be also a merging of these two. So melodically, I needed to come up with original material. Like, you know, it wouldn't make sense to do the predator theme exactly from Predator, because it's this new character. It was a different. I had to almost say, this is our new star here, is this hybrid. So it nods to it, yeah, in more kind of textural and the kind of the sound of those scores.
Okay. Well, now, how hands-on were the Brothers Strauss when it came to your music, or were you just kind of left to compose?
I would say both, in a sense. You know, they were hands-on, in that they would come in and they would check out what I was doing. They were great at being able to say, hey, you know, why don't we kind of do this, and, you know, kind of push it in one direction or the other, or, you know, that they would want something from the scene that maybe you didn't see and you wouldn't know, something lurking in the background, and I wouldn't even know that maybe they want attention or something like that in a particular mm-hmm. scene. So they really gave me these, not so much musical notes, but notes of story and notes of emotion of what they wanted in the scenes, which was really helpful. So I was able to kind of, you know, really do my job, and they were able to get what they wanted without getting bogged down in kind of the micromanagement that sometimes you see with scores that kind of ruins scores. And, you know, we were just on the same page. I mean, the fact was there was a huge committee on this film. There's a million producers, and there's this 20th Century Fox and everyone. But on this one, it was kind of strange, you know, because it was incredibly difficult score to write, just from a technical standpoint, but from kind of the political side and having to deal with all that, it was great. It was a kind of a breeze, because I think everyone seemed to be exactly on the same page of what they wanted. You know, it was throwback. It's let's do it as a throwback, and also it had to be really mean and nasty. You know, the music couldn't hide in the corners. That was the thing. You know, sometimes scores really just atmospheric and kind of sonic wallpaper where the less it sticks out, the better kind of thing. You know, you just don't want to be noticed or anything. But we weren't afraid of that. What we all wanted was this to be, you know, a really upfront, big part of the movie, because you look at the Aliens and Predator movies that really worked, the music is right there, up front and center. So that was part of the plan.